Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Because some of us started late. We won't have others recite the verse, but just recite it after me.
Yapaso parsvagato raho gatas. Satapitas yangri yugam navam navam. Pade pade ka viramet tat padat. Shalapi yatsri na jahati karhichit.
Here's the word by words. Please repeat after me.
Yadi.
Yadi.
Although.
Although.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Asa.
Asa.
He, Lord Sri Krishna.
He, Lord Sri Krishna.
Parsva.
Parsva.
Gataha.
Gataha.
Just by the side.
Just by the side.
Raha gata.
Raha gata.
Exclusively alone.
Exclusively alone.
Tatapi.
Tatapi.
Still.
Still.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
His.
Angriyugam.
Angriyugam.
The feet of the Lord.
The feet of the Lord.
Navam navam.
Navam navam.
Newer and newer.
Newer and newer.
Pade.
Pade.
Step.
Step.
Pade.
Pade.
In every step.
In every step.
Ka.
Ka.
Who.
Who.
Dirameta.
Dirameta.
Can be detached from.
Can be detached from.
Tatpada. From his feet.
From his feet.
Chalapi.
Chalapi.
Moving.
Moving.
Yat.
Yat.
Hum.
Hum.
Shri.
Shri.
The goddess of fortune.
The goddess of fortune.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Dahati.
Dahati.
Quits.
Quits.
Karhichit.
Karhichit.
At any time.
At any time.
Here's Srila Prabhupada's translation. Although Lord Sri Krishna was constantly by their sides, who is he speaking? Who is the verse about? Who is being referred to? By whose side?
The queens.
Although Lord Sri Krishna was constantly by their sides, by the sides of the queens of Dwarka, as well as exclusively alone, his feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's lotus feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? Please repeat. Although Lord Sri Krishna, was constantly by their side, as well as exclusively alone. His feet appeared to them to be newer and newer.
The goddess of fortune,
although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's lotus feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet?
So what woman can be detached from those feet?
Having once taken shelter of them.
Having once taken shelter of them.
Okay, without looking at either the board or the machine in your hand, what do you remember from the verse? That, yes?
That God of fortune couldn't actually get detached from the Sri Krishna.
Thank you. Yes, that the goddess of fortune couldn't get detached from the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, what's the significance of that?
What does that mean? You have to raise your hand, or else great misfortune will appear. I doubt it, but... Okay, what did you say?
If you are attached to Lord Krishna, then you are attached to Mother Lakshmi Devi also.
Wait a second. On a certain level, that's true. But we won't speak on that point right now. But what is the significance of the goddess of fortune being attached to the lotus feet of Krishna? And then add to that the concept of his... Now, this is something that that to the Western mind doesn't... Without some explanation, it doesn't mean so much. His feet appeared to them, meaning his wives, who are all goddesses of fortune. His feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. Now, we'll change your ringtone quickly. And everyone else, either put your phones to cow mode, cow ringtone mode, or we also accept peacocks and quail modes, or turn them off. What is it? I mean, it's such an interesting concept, glorifying Krishna's feet as being newer and newer. I mean, when you see someone and you want to say something wonderful to them, you say, "Your feet are new." It just doesn't, without some explanation and thought, it doesn't mean very much. What does that mean, though? His feet are newer and newer. Not only new, but newer and newer. Yes, yes, but what does it mean, newer and newer? Yes, that's true. That's a deep point too.
That you cannot completely know what you cannot just by your own intelligence know what's there.
Yes. But what does that have to do with newer and newer? Something could be older and older, and you still can't understand it. But what is the significance of newer and newer? Well, who said that? Someone in the sky. Okay. Everyone looks up. Sorry. What is the significance of newer and newer? You had your hands up. Huh? Ever fresh. What is? So that's a term we use. What does ever fresh mean?
The goddess of fortune have been serving Lord Krishna every time, but still they are getting newer and newer satisfaction.
Yes, but what is? Yes, newer and newer satisfaction. Yes.
Lord is infinite.
Yes, these are all true, but no one's able to read my mind properly to find out what I'm thinking. Yeah, certainly, but my beloved, it is as if I'm seeing your feet for the first time. As he says, no one's ever told me that before. But, okay, you already had your chance. Now, the idea is, yes, Les.
Krishna, the beauty of his lotus feet is increasing every time.
Yeah, it's increasing, yes. But okay, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. It's so good. But the idea is, in the material world, in material life, and with material consciousness, and when we are in material consciousness and dealing with the things of the material world, we have a plan that we're going to enjoy the things of the material world, and whether it's food or a new toy, whether the new toy is expensive or inexpensive, whether it's mechanical or simple, or a new house, or a new place, or a new person. When it's new, the anticipation that, oh, this is going to be wonderful, this is going to be wonderful, and I'm going to really get pleasure from it, the anticipation of the pleasure that's going to come is always so great. And even with the first taste of it, on whatever level it is, they, you know, on YouTube you see these, someone gets a new toy in the name of a new camera or computer, they have unboxing videos. Did anyone ever see those? Yeah, which is different from boxing videos. But unboxing videos, when the great anticipation for the first time, they're opening it up, their new computer, camera, phone, this, that. But then after a while, when the next version comes out, they want to get rid of that version. Or why? Because the anticipation that this is going to give me pleasure, the new movie, the new this, the new that, that's the material world. It always has to present newer and newer and newer and newer and newer, because we get so tired and sick of whatever we're doing. Because it doesn't, the material world doesn't fulfill its promise. As we mentioned yesterday, it's the world of shadows. The shadow simply doesn't have substance. And no matter how many shadows we get, or whatever the advertisements are for the shadows, and even if our mind believes them, yes, the shadow is going to fulfill this need that I have, that I want to fulfill the emptiness in the heart, the shadow doesn't have substance and it cannot fulfill that. And so much of material life is the childish dream that this shadow didn't. I once read that this person who had gotten divorced, married and divorced 8 times, remarried his first wife for the ninth time, no, on the ninth try. It's just like that. Nothing against that particular relationship, but how many times do we have to try the same different varieties of shadows to understand there's simply no substance there? And therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that if one actually understands and accepts fully and deeply that despite all the varieties available in the material world, and there's not only varieties, and that includes varieties of situations, and we're always dreaming the next one is going to be better. And you see in the travel agencies, you see the posters for all the different places. But once you've traveled the world a little bit and you look at the posters and they all look the same, nothing looks exotic and new and fresh. Because it's just the land of shadows. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if one actually understands and accepts and deeply understands that there is no situation in the material world that is going to actually provide substance to bring me the happiness that me who I am, the soul ultimately, to bring the sustenance, the substance that I so deeply long for in the core of my heart, and so much of my life is distraction from, it's just distracting myself
from facing the fact that I'm not getting what I wanted or what truly feeds me, nourishes me. So if one actually accepts this point that there's no place or situation in the material world that can fulfill my essential need, one has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. Now, on one level, understanding that the material world is a land of shadows doesn't have anything to do with spiritual life. It just has to do with the material world. And the material world, understanding the nature of the material world, is after all understanding the nature of the material world, doesn't have anything directly to do with Krishna, everything, because Krishna is the Param Satyam, the absolute truth, the all-inclusive absolute truth. It is certainly not different from Him, but just understanding the nature of the material world, or knowing that there is no place in the material world that can make me happy, isn't spiritual life. It could lead one, on the other hand, to be the most cynical old man and the most miserable person, which isn't spiritual life at all. But what did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mean by that? It means that if one understands the nature of material life and the material world, and one is on the spiritual path, and stepping forward to the positive, to the taste of one's relationship with Krishna, to the taste of the eternal relationship that myself as an eternal soul has with Krishna, and just walking towards that even, that if one understands that first point about the nature of the material world, there won't be always that looking backwards at what I'm leaving, which so much is the plague that affects spiritual life, because sometimes spiritual life isn't easy because Krishna is he's unlimitedly sweet, why isn't it so easy? I want it to be really easy. But it's the most valuable of all things. Krishna is the most valuable. That relationship is the most valuable of all. And it is not cheap. Valuable things are not cheap. The most valuable things, they have the greatest price. And the price for awakening our love for Krishna is the giving of the soul, of the self to Krishna fully, and then he, in reciprocation, yayatamam prapadyante, he will give himself to the devotee, bhaktavatsalya atma parjanta vidanyata. He gives himself to the devotee and one has the most valuable thing, Krishna. But that person has to be fully given to Krishna before Krishna will give himself to that person. So therefore bhakti, in the words of Srila Rupa Goswami, is sudulava. Dulava means rare, and sudulava means extremely rare, because it conquers and controls the all-powerful. Bhakti on the level of love, of, let's even preliminary, it's love, bhava-bhakti, sudurlava. So, when one is walking forward towards that sudurlava, exalted, most exalted relationship with Krishna, where one has irrevocably placed in one's heart the lotus feet of Krishna, one can look backwards at material life and think, oh, I could have enjoyed that, and I could have enjoyed that, and the material energy is always presenting different permutations. What does permutations mean?
Combinations.
Chemical engineers?
Combinations of the same
different
thing.
Combinations of the same thing. The material energy is just different combinations of the same thing. And no matter how many ways and times and varieties we combine that same old thing, it's the same old thing. But Krishna's feet, on the other hand, which means also Krishna's service. Krishna's service is newer and newer. It appears newer and newer. It's not the same old thing. That after a while, I need something else other than to serve Krishna to bring the satisfaction that I so require. So Krishna's service is ever fresh and newer and newer. It's infinitely ever fresh and newer and newer. And it's infinitely ever fresh and sweeter. So therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Anandam Bhudi Vardhanam. What does Anandam Bhudi Vardhanam mean? But not only an ocean of bliss, an ever increasing ocean of bliss. That's Krishna's service. So then one may ask, well, Krishna's service is an ever ocean of bliss, ever increasing ocean of bliss. Why do I feel sometimes I am stranded on the desert of the shore? And the answer is, that mood is wonderful. And take that mood. First you have to answer the question a little bit. We'll get to the answer to that question in a moment. But that mood is wonderful to take to your chanting. That your service is an ever-expanding ocean of bliss. And I am stranded on the shore. And I need your mercy. Oh, Lord, oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Srimati Radharani, oh, Krishna, oh, Gora, O Nitai, O great devotees, O Srila Prabhupada, O Srila Goswami. If you don't give me some mercy, what hope do I have? That is called humility. And in a humble mood, then Kirtaniya Sadahari, one can and will always be taking shelter of Krishna in that way. Needing Krishna's mercy to continue. And then in that taking shelter, the flow of mercy comes. But before we answer that question, before we can do that, hit the point of humility, doesn't anyone have any cow ringtones here? What this world needs is cowering tones, some good moves coming out. Before we can actually take shelter of Krishna in that humble way, we have to be able to answer that question, at least according to my understanding. We have to be able to answer that question to our own satisfaction. Why aren't I'm chanting Hare Krishna sometimes, and why aren't I in the ocean of bliss, and why am I stranded on the shore? So the first question is, well, is it real, or is this just some old fashioned religious talk? You have to be able to answer that question for yourself.
or is this just some old traditional thing that I do out of habit? Or is Krishna really there? And it's his service, an ever increasing ocean of bliss. And then the second question is, why am I not experiencing it? Swami is experiencing it. He's given up being practically the king's prime minister to live like a beggar. And not only Rupa Goswami, for thousands of years, not only in Krishna consciousness, but people have experienced so much happiness that they don't want to touch them. Tuchavad. Tuchavad means seeing the material realm of shadows as insignificant. And they wouldn't trade back. So why am I on the shore? These great devotees are experiencing it, and the answer to the reason why, I have to say opinion on this, but it's an informed opinion, is that we have to understand that they're great devotees, and then I have to understand what is the qualification for being a Krishna. And if I understand the qualification for being with Krishna and being in the ever-increasing ocean of bliss, it immediately becomes very clear to me why I'm on the shore. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you ask yourself, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's because why? Why am I on the shore? Because I have so many other desires and so much other conditioning. And I have so much of this that I have hidden in my heart, and so much anger and so much lust and so much greed and so much fear and so many material attachments. And these great devotees have kicked off everything to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. They somehow have had the taste and the courage and the conviction, the mercy and the advancement to say, I don't care about anything else. Everything else is zeros, and an ocean of zeros, 5,000 ocean of zeros, and it just adds up to zero. And I don't want it, and I'm getting older by the second, and I'm soon going to leave this world, and what's going to happen next, I don't know. And I want it. I want my relationship with Krishna. And they're willing to give everything to have it. And they feel themselves unqualified. And yet they're willing to give everything. And they get Krishna. By the power of Krishna's mercy combining with their sincere endeavor. Like Mother Yashoda, who tried so hard to bind up Krishna. And due to Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti, she couldn't do it. His unlimited opulence, she couldn't do it. But by her endeavor, Krishna's Kripa Shakti, which is his mercy, his foremost of all powers, took over. Acting independently, practically, his mercy took over. And seeing her endeavor, Krishna's heart melted. So it wasn't the endeavor that made Krishna's heart melt, but it was because our endeavor can only be insignificant. But it was sincere, fully sincere, based on her love for Krishna. And
Therefore, Krishna's heart melted and his Kripa Shakti, his mercy came, and she was able to bind him. So, not that we specifically want to bind Krishna, but what we want to do is move forward in our spiritual life, and our endeavor has something to do with it, but it's not the endeavor, it's the sincerity. Let you be pleased, Krishna, I'm doing this for your pleasure. If we could just do something for Krishna's pleasure, that'd be so wonderful, that I don't want any percentage for myself even. What kind of Bhagavatam class am I giving this morning? But not even a percentage. This is what purity means. I don't want... That's what love means. The endeavor to please the beloved is bringing all... That's all I want out of this... what's the word? Has anyone's mind reading abilities increased since the last time? For the interaction of me giving to please Krishna. All I want from it is your pleasure. Take that mood into your chanting sometimes, just for this time. What will please you? Love pleases you. I'm not capable of that. But let me try to be with you according to my ability through at least putting my attention, my intention is to put my attention and my chanting, even though my mind tends to run all over the place, at least for this time, I'm going to try my sincerest and best and reserve this time when I'm in the temple, when I'm sweeping the floor. But let me just do this act, simple act, in a way that you will be pleased. Despite my disqualifications and sincerity, I've come here to make this little offering to you. Insignificant offering, because all an insignificant soul could ever make is an insignificant offering. So, now we will begin the purport. First, I'll read the verse again. Although Lord Sri Krishna was constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone, that's a whole nother topic. He was constantly by their sides, but he was exclusively alone. Now, did anyone pick that up as we read it? That might be a little bit difficult to do sometimes, maybe, perhaps? Be constantly by someone's side and alone? Could that mean that when he was with them, he wasn't really with them? He was thinking of something else? Or could it mean that he's quite inconceivably powerful? And the answer is actually both of those. Sometimes when Krishna was, he was even asleep with the queens, he would say the name of Srimati Radharani. And they would say, who is that? What is this? What Krishna is? Padam ekam nagachati Vrindavanam pityaja. He cannot leave Vrindavan because the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so full and complete in each of the different rasas. Each of the different relationships with Krishna. They give themselves to him so much that he cannot pull himself away from them. Well, it's a blue ball. That is very significant. Whose is it? What's your name? Excuse me, wait a second. What's your name? What's your name? A little too much attention. Oh, come on. We want to play. Okay, you can have your blue ball. Very significant. He was, Krishna can't take his mind out of Vrindavan because of the nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It is full, it is complete, and it's also completely unselfish, and also it's in a specific mood. It's not only full and complete and pure, but it's in a specific mood that Krishna finds so attractive. And what is that mood? It's in the mood of, they don't care that he's all powerful. They don't care that he's the bestower of all benedictions. They don't care that he's Param Ishwara, the supreme controller. All they know is that they love him. And they have that spontaneously. It's not that they have to think about it. It's spontaneous. They have so an overwhelming, they're overwhelmed by their affection for him constantly. And that affection for him, it rules their life. And it, in fact, that affection for their affection for him is so intense that it rules the land of Vrindavan. And not only that, it rules Krishna himself. That is the spiritual world. And it's with Krishna in the center. And he's all attractive. And he's all attractive, so no one has to think, oh boy, he's in the center. When does my turn come? It's because everyone is simply attracted to him by his beauty. His form is so beautiful. And the way he deals is so heart-stealing. Who can think of an example of that? Yes.
The elderly gopis, even though Krishna had been stealing from them and making the house dirty, when Mother Yasoda was going to punish Krishna, they said, no, no, don't punish him.
They were, thank you. They were enjoying so much watching the childish dealings. It's like we all naturally enjoy to watch the childish dealings of children. Something so captivating. And do you think the children know it? They do. So Krishna acts in such a way, he's the most charming of all. The most charming of all. The way he dresses is so charming. He's called Natavara. He dresses like he's the best of the dancers, but he dresses like a dramatic actor. You know, a little, the English word flamboyant, I don't know how to translate that one into Hindi or anything. Flamboyant, is there such a word? No answers? Everyone understands what flamboyant means. What is, how do you say flamboyant in Hindi or something? Means, huh? Excuse me? That didn't sound like Hindi, though, I'll have to admit that. What does the word flamboyant mean? What does it mean? Anyway, okay, English, we'll go back to English. What does flamboyant mean?
Showing off.
Yes, showing off is a part of it, yeah.
Tending to attract attention because of their exuberance, confidence, and stylishness.
Oh. You're so intelligent. You know what every word means. That's amazing. You have used Google. But what dictionary? Tell me later. That's such a good thing. Oh, good. You did really well with the last one, too. What was the last one that we asked?
Koi.
Koi. That koi glances. But he's flamboyant, he attracts it. He dresses in such a way to attract attention. And he does attract everyone. He's wearing a dhoti that's as bright and like lightning. And he's his eyes are decorated with the pigments from the colors in different ways, very delicately. From Vrindavan supplies the pigments, especially Govardhan loves to serve and supply. And he's dressed, decorated, and he's wearing jewels, but he doesn't like the jewels as much as he likes a garland of forest flowers. And he wears it very long. So when he plays his flute, it moves very gently back and forth. And upon his head, he has a... Now it's what time for to be spontaneously calling out. He's got a peacock feather on his head, and he's got long earrings that are in the shape of makara. Sometimes we translate that as shark-shaped earrings, but they're actually not like sharks, they're like makaras. And the reflection of the earrings come onto his cheeks, and he's dancing, and he walks like a graceful young elephant. Now, in case you're not from a village somewhere, they're really graceful. He walks in a very slow and deliberate way, like there's no anxiety. It's youth, the full exuberance of youth. And his complexion is effulgent and darkish. And he's wearing a chadar, and he's wearing pearls around his neck. And his eyes are like lotus petals, and they go almost to his ears. And he has a smile that is compared to the sweetness, to the fragrance, Madhu Gandhi, the fragrance of honey. Now, when you think of honey, you don't think of fragrance usually, you think of sweetness. But the fragrance of honey is very subtle. So it's got a smile. He has a smile that's very subtle and captivating. And his eyes, his eyebrows are dancing. And they're compared to what?
The bow.
A bow. And what is shot from the bow of Krishna's eyebrows? His glance. He looks at you out of the corner. And he's captivated everyone in Vrindavan. There's one childish incident that was crowded in the Bhagavatam, that when he was very, very little, just crawling about in the dust of Vrindavan. And his mother is wearing ankle bells that make a tingling, jingling sound. And one of the other ladies, and he's very, very, very little at that time, he's crawling. And one of the other ladies is wearing ankle bells. So she's walking slowly, and Krishna is following behind her, thinking that it's his mother. And then she turns around, and he sees that it's not his mother. And he becomes frightened. And he runs to his mother and jumps on her lap and just embraces her. Just, we can't imagine, but just imagine what Mother Yashoda was feeling after witnessing that pastime. And he comes running to her and he embraces her. Oh, you are my mother. No one else is my mother. I love you. Embraces her. Mother Yashoda just feeds him and crying and talking about it. He's captivated everyone in Vrindavan. And he mistook the elderly gopi for his mother. Now he's, after all, the all-powerful, supreme, knowing, omniscient personality of Godhead. And he mistook. So how mysterious is this? How mysterious is this spiritual world? How impenetrable it is. We can't pierce it through our intelligence. We can't understand exactly what it's like. It must be mysterious. Of course the spiritual world must be mysterious.
This is the land of shadows, and that is the land of substance. From the point of, if all we know is shadows, of course the spiritual world, the realm that's the engine that's driving this realm, is basically selfishness, false ego, ahankara, vamudharma, bewildering everyone. And the engine that drives the spiritual world is loving relationship with Krishna. Of course it's mysterious. I think Prabhupada gave an example once that some British fellow who's just recently arrived in India asked a farmer, what does jackfruit taste like? Kattal. Raise your hand if you've never tasted jackfruit. Admit it. No one will admit it. Have you ever tasted jackfruit?
No.
No? Okay, there we go. So, what does jackfruit taste like? Well, there's two, when it's pakal, kacha, it's completely different. Anyway, he asked him, I'll tell you after how I just would have described what it tasted like the first time I tasted it. So he asked someone, the farmer, what jackfruit tastes like. And the farmer said, it's like drinking sugar cane juice through a Muslim's beard. Prabhupada told that story. I didn't make that one. I wouldn't have. First of all, how would he know what that tastes like? But how are you going to describe it when all you know is sugar cane juice? I thought the first time I tasted the fruit, I thought it tasted like bubble gum. Well, that was my childhood. But so how are we going to know what is the spiritual world that we can get a glimpse? We can get a glimpse. We can get a glimpse from the Bhagavatam. And here these verses give us that kind of glimpse. That the goddess of fortune who bestows all benediction upon everyone, as everyone is trying to be fortunate. Everyone is the hope of being fortunate in this world. But she's chanchal, the verse says. She's by nature, chanchal means restless, moving from here to here and here. We all want fortune to continuously stay with us. Good luck. I mean, good luck to always stay with us. Well, good luck if that's what you want, because it doesn't. From the point of view of astrology, our periods change, the planet influences are different, this and that and that. No one is continuously fortunate, because in the Vedic way of saying it, the goddess of fortune doesn't stay with anyone. Why? Because no one is qualified. This is described in the 8th. Can we all feel ourselves qualified to be always fortunate? But in the 8th canto it describes when she was looking for the person to settle with, to be with always, could be constantly with, she thought, well, this person has this good quality but that bad quality, and this person has this good quality and that bad quality. So therefore she wouldn't settle on any person until she saw the Lord, Lord Vishnu. And then she gave him her garland, and I am always steady by you. With you. But that Chanchala, goddess of fortune, she is always serving the feet of Krishna. She wants to serve the feet of Krishna. So to give fortune, you have to have fortune. You can't give what you don't have. So she has all fortune. Everything. All fortune. And she's serving Krishna's feet constantly, always with that. So, will I be satisfied if I serve Krishna's feet? So we're getting a glimpse here of what the spiritual world is like. It is the land of fortune.
because it is the land of Krishna. It is the land where fortune is serving Krishna always. Why? Because his feet are newer and newer and newer and newer and most wonderful. So what to speak of her? What woman can be detached from those feet? Or, and as Prabhupada will explain in the purport that someone will read tomorrow, that we're all feminine, female in relationship with Krishna. He is the enjoyer. We are meant to serve him. So what soul, what person will not, once having taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and tasted the sweetness of that, what person can be detached from him? That is some of the points here. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? We have 2 minutes. Better if it's there, yes or no questions.
Bindu, I think it's lack of determination, what you're saying. Our lack of determination. Eke Guru Nandana.
And what causes our lack of determination?
Because unless we go completely, fully surrender 100%.
Yes. And what causes our lack of determination, though?
Because of the material desires.
Because of the material desires. And what causes our material desires?
Because of attachment.
And what causes our attachment? Material desires. And what causes our material desires? What is the cause of our being in the material world?
We are not attracted enough.
Well, there's a spirit that we have of not wanting to engage, be a servant. We want to be the master. I mean, that question can be discussed in so many different ways for so long. But yeah, material desires, enjoying spirit.
The way that word flamboyant was described, the Hindi for that is alankar.
Decorated.
Alankar.
Alankar means like decorated.
Decorated in a way.
In a way that's very attractive. Well, just look. Just look. Take a moment and just look at them. They're all flamboyant. All 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. To attract our attention away from the world of matter, which is the land of shadows. Yes, alankar, is that? Yes, thank you. Okay, last.
What is that some of the empires in the world have done, like for example?
Some of the what in the world?
Empire, like Birla Empire or Tata Empire, that they have done, that the fortune is with them for centuries.
Well, whatever they have done, it won't be enough. You can be sure of that. I don't know. You have to see Jyotish ceremony for that. It's some kind of punya, some pious activity. They must have given some charity, they must have helped this, they have done something very, very pious. I've seen some of these people, they're like demigods, practically speaking. You know, they come down, their feet just barely touch the ground. Very, very, very pious. You haven't seen? No, you haven't seen that kind. I've seen some of the Dalmia family. They descend. Almost. But it's on the it's a material type of, not that they're also spiritual religious people, and that's the whole Karmakandiya Kama Mamamsa thing, that increase your piety, do sacrifices so you can enjoy and enjoy and enjoy and let that go on forever. But that's not the devotional idea, where we, because we're attached to Krishna, we're naturally also attached to the wealth of the goddess of fortune, yes, for Krishna's service. Well, what they have done. And a final note, one time a Catholic priest asked Srila Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada told the story, I'll use the type of wording. No, I won't tell that story. I won't tell the story. No. I already made up my mind. Okay. Thank you very much. the Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Guna Thai Radha Bala Bala. Shri Jagannath Bala Dev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Radha Bala Bala Bhakta Bhakti ki jai. Bhaim se kapa ki jai. Thank you.